I'm Tom from the Ballpark Bros. Here's Mike.
This next presentation on the Four Eyed Radio Network is brought to you by Revenge Lover. Stand out from the crowd. For more information, visit RevengeLover.com and mention the podcast for 10% off on your order.
You've entered Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast.
Welcome to episode 16 of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast on the Four Eyed Radio Network. It's time to catch them all with your host. I'm Kyle, also known as Deadpool Ranger, and I'm Team Articuno.
And I'm Doug, also known as Doug Watson, and I'm Team Lugia.
Yeah, you'll find out why we are those teams shortly. To listen to the show, you can find us on FourEyedRadio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Miro Guide, Pod Directory, Double Twist, Swell Radio, Player FM, and Google Play Music. This podcast is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustrations and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RevengeLover.com.
Woo!
Doug! Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
I know I wished you like happy birthday like multiple times up on Twitter through Victory Road and through my own Twitter account, but now we're face to face through a computer screen, sort of. So I thought I'd say it in person, kind of.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Did you have a good birthday?
Yeah, I went. I went to the place we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Sort of. Kind of.
Kind of. Yes. I can't wait to hear your perspective on it. But yeah, so you're like, what, 28 now?
Sure, we can go with that.
All right. That will remain a mystery on the show forever, folks. So we're just going to jump into the news a little bit. So yesterday, as of this recording, today is Sunday, by the way, for those who don't know. So yesterday, on Saturday, was the Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago.
Yeah.
And saying it was a huge success would just be lying to you folks. Pretty much summing that up right there.
I will say, though, saying it was an absolute disaster is also not entirely accurate. It's like,
no. it was somewhere in between.
It was very messy.
Yes, messy is a good description for it. So if you've been living underneath a rock, or you've been just more focused on San Diego Comic-Con news, which I don't blame you, because why was this on the same weekend as San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird.
Yeah, like, I wonder how many fans were like, oh, I wish I could go, but I've already got tickets to go to San Diego Comic-Con. Like, that's...
I don't know.
I get it. It's the one-year anniversary thing, but...
Maybe they did it on purpose because they had a limited number of tickets and that was an automatic filter.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Still seems not like a great idea.
Yeah. So, first off, 20,000 tickets were sold for this event. And sold out within 6 minutes. So, Niantic knew how many people were going to be there.
Yes. They decided pretty much how many people could be there.
Exactly. So you think they would have known in advance, hey, let's make sure we can hold that many people on the servers for that area. Which, of course, they didn't because there were server crashes. Some people couldn't even log into the event. And a lot of people were... really mad. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'd say the P word, but I'm trying to keep myself limited on editing because I'm leaving Tuesday morning. So
they were super Pokemon'd.
Yes, super Pokemon'd. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, so I missed the first hour of the event from the live stream because I was off seeing a movie. So I missed the first little bit, but then when I got home, I checked all the feeds and everything, and I found out what was going on pretty quickly. And I turned on the live feed. I had it up on my TV, so I didn't have to watch it through my phone. And people were just chanting, like, fix our game, fix our game. First off, it's not your game, it's Niantic's game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They were chanting, you know, fix the servers, fix the servers. I'm like, guys, I get it, this sucks. You came all the way from who knows where to be in Chicago.
Yeah.
We'll get to how Niantic fixed everything afterwards, but just... And then at some point, or like, I guess the Niantic CEO came out to greet everyone, and people were booing him. He couldn't even get like a sentence out, so then eventually he just kind of left.
I didn't go when it first started because I didn't have a ticket, and I thought, well, you know, I don't have a ticket. There's nothing for me to wait for. I'm just going to go a little bit after it starts. So my goal was to get there at around 11, but I wasn't able to get there around 11. I probably got there sometime between like 12:30 and 1 o'clock. And so I already heard about a bunch of stuff that was happening before I even got there.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I couldn't hear anything happening at the main stage. So for even the maybe 2 hours I was at the park, I couldn't hear much of what was going on aside from the people who were, you know, hanging out close enough for me to talk to or hear or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which is a bummer, but it was still, you know, still interesting to see.
And then I heard like the line was like 3 hours long.
Yeah, the line was super long, which they did communicate to people was going to be the case. You know, the event itself didn't start until 10 o'clock. And for mm-hmm. some folks, it started at 9. And they started lining up at 6. They said that you can start lining up at 6. Doors will open at the earliest at 9 o'clock, and then for most folks at 10 o'clock. So that, I mean, I was able to see that because I had made a comment about, you know, at least I don't have to wake up to take a train to get in at 6 o'clock. Because that would have sucked.
That would just suck. Now, I'll be honest with you, I hate waking up early, having to go and wait in line for something. I did that for Power Morphicon for the toy.
Yeah.
But thankfully for me, like, this was like day 2 of Power Morphicon, so I'm still on East Coast time. So, like,
yeah,
they started lining up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, that's 8 o'clock for me. I'll be fine.
This feels great.
Exactly. Like, oh, hey, look, I got to sleep in a little bit. So that was fine for me, but I don't like when you have to like wake up early and I don't know.
I mean, I get why they did it because, you know, you have 20,000, a potential 20,000 people, you know how long that line's going to be. And there's not really a way to avoid that. You know, like it's not like this was a facility where they could just easily, well, I guess, okay. Think of a sporting event. A lot of stadiums can hold 20,000 people. It doesn't take, you know, 20 minutes to get people in there. They start coming early. They shuffle in.
Well, those a lot of stadiums have multiple entrances. I was just about to say, they have multiple entrances.
And stuff like that. And the park just, I don't think, could do that.
Yeah.
So they kind of, they people kind of should have known what they were getting into as far as the wait. But by the time I got there was still a line, though. So I don't know what was going on with that.
Yeah, so... That was one of the big issues. Another big issue that was causing a lot of problems was the people that weren't at the event. There was a lot of hackers who didn't go. Basically, they found a way to hack their phone to make it seem like they were in the Chicago thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, obviously, they may have known someone who was there, and I guess the QR codes that you had to scan to be able to actually access the Pokestops and be able to get all the other Pokemon, those, I think, they weren't a one-time use only. You could use them multiple times from what I've heard.
Oh. Yeah, so, let's set this up. The event itself was contained inside of a park, and what Niantic did was they designated all of the Pokestops that are normally in that park to be Pokemon Go Fest Pokestop. So if you saw any of our tweets from that day, I was able to reach one Pokestop from the perimeter of the park, but I couldn't actually use it because I didn't have a QR code. And what that let you do was access specific things that were exclusive to Pokemon Go registrants, which we learned after the fact, were the Pokemon that were appearing outside of their region or that were exclusives for the event. So Unknown was exclusive to the event. Heracross was exclusively outside of its region. And I think there were items and stuff that you could get. But the thing is, because they're Pokestops, they're still geographically tied. So yeah, if you can figure out how to hack that, that's causing problems, which, you know, we'll get to this, but there are two big things that really, really interfered with this event.
Well, they said there was three, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, one of them is one that we've already referenced, which is Niantic and, you know, preparation, right? That's one big one. But another huge one was people, like people both at the event and outside the event. Like, I'm not afraid to say it. We're not helping.
No.
And in some circumstances, we're making it worse. So those were two big things that at least I was able to see being there. But
yeah,
preparation goes a long way. So.
Hold on a second. I pulled up what they had said was the cause of everything. Let me see here. He said here, basically the Niantic Labs chief marketing officer had come out on stage, and they also showed up on live stream. He said that there was a network issue, a bug crash issue, and an authentication issue, which were the three things that were giving people problems. He said the later two issues are on Niantic end, and obviously a network issue was with the cell providers and stuff like that, because I guess they probably didn't realize, hey, there's going to be 20,000 people here.
I wondered that, because there's the server thing, right? And that's something that Niantic can theoretically prepare for, right? That's on them.
Yeah.
But the cell stuff is a different story. Whether you're talking about Wi-Fi service or phone service, I use phone service, or I was trying to at least. And, you know, I wasn't tied to the event at all. I just happened to be in a place where thousands of other people were trying to do the same thing that I was. And that's not uncommon to come across at any place in the city of Chicago where there's a ton of people. If I go to a sporting event, it's really hard for me to get Wi-Fi. If I'm in the middle of downtown, it's hard for me to get, or not Wi-Fi, just cell service. So at one point I was having trouble even tweeting because, you know, the cell service was just difficult. And I don't even know if they had any way to control that. I think the only way they could try to curb it was the Wi-Fi, right? If you were using the Wi-Fi, theoretically, you shouldn't have been taking up any airwaves.
Yeah.
But if the Wi-Fi wasn't reliable, people are going to go back to their cell phones.
A lot of people, and then obviously later on, the guy came out again and said, hey, we found two possible solutions for you. If you're like AT&T, the back corner of the park, there's an AT&T cell tower right there. I've been told AT&T customers are getting really good service right there.
Oh, that's probably where I was able to actually play.
The last, and
quote,
said,
play.
If your cell phone provider offers you like a free Wi-Fi connectivity thing or something like that, connect to that.
Yeah.
Because you also got to figure with all those people like trying to do those methods, that's freeing up a little bit more space for the cell service for everyone else.
Yep.
And then, again, there were still people who couldn't connect, and they were being irate. Like,
yes.
There's a point. Go ahead.
That's the effect part, right? If Niantic had been able to prepare to their max, then this wouldn't have been a factor. But the fact of the matter is they weren't able to prepare in the way that they wanted to, and people could have reacted one of two ways. They could have been cooperative with that and been patient and whatnot or whatever. Or they could have thrown water bottles, which is exactly what they did. So,
yeah, someone threw a water bottle at one of the hosts. And I just want to say this to people. If you're at an event and something's not working properly for you, don't get mad. Don't throw water bottles. Throw Pokeballs, not water bottles.
Right. My thing is, if you were upset, just leave. You're in the middle of Chicago. I know a lot of people came from a long ways away, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That totally sucks. I overheard people talking about how far they were coming from and whatnot. But you're in the middle of the city of Chicago. There's stuff you can do. I walked two blocks to a comic book shop. Like, there's places to eat. Like, step away, you know, take a breather, come back, see if they've solved the problem. There's a million other things you could do instead of you know, being a pain in the butt.
I wonder if anyone actually went to that from overseas. Like someone from like maybe like England or something like that came.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think, you know, I think at some point after we talk a bit more through the event, you and I should probably do a what we think could have gone better or what they could have done differently.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't run into anyone who was international, but I wouldn't be surprised at all based on how far I heard people had come.
Oh, yeah. So other issues, like just from watching like the live stream, all you have, 90% of the live stream was just the screensaver image of the Pokemon Go Fest poster. That was it.
Yeah, what was going on with that? Because I obviously wasn't watching it, but I was watching you tweet about it. It was funny. If you guys didn't look at our Twitter, you should, because we were both tweeting at the same time. But Kyle was tweeting from the like spectator perspective of being at home and watching the stream, and I was trying to tweet on location, not being able to actually get in. So it's funny. They just kind of it goes back and forth and back and forth.
Exactly. But so the live stream was 90% of it, like I said, was just the screensaver. Then they would go to like the host. They'd be like, "Hey, how's it going? I want to introduce you to like the team captains for each team, for Team Instinct, such and such, Mystic and Valor." And then like all three of them would just start bashing on each other, like making jokes. And then like Valor was like, "Oh, Team Mystic, more like Team Mistake." And I'm like, "Really? Really? This is what we've come to." So that was a bit annoying, in my opinion, just because I'm like, we don't need gang wars here, guys. Let's not do that. The crowds are already mad enough as it is. You don't need to rile them up even more. So, and then like they'd be doing like interviews or something like that. And at one point, they had shown they were having people actually connect to the live stream through their Pokemon, through the game, through their phones and whatnot, and they were showing them like what they were doing, like the gym battles, and they showed one person setting up his gym battle stuff, and he had some inappropriate nicknames for some of his Pokemon.
Oh, jeez.
It was a split second, but it was long enough to, you know, be like, "Hey, did that Gyarados, was that called that such a thing, and was that Cloyster really called a..."
I wonder, who were the people that they were connecting to the live stream? Were they not like Niantic's people?
No,
or people that were working?
I think it was Niantic's thing. I don't know.
Weird.
But then they would show like they showed this same clip over and over eventually of this one guy who does trainer tips on YouTube for Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And he just kept showing this. They just kept showing the same clip over and over. Like I'd go to like the thing and it'd either be whenever I went to go look, it would either be the screensaver or it would be this guy giving tips on the same thing again on how to do raids and stuff. I'm like, I don't care about that stuff.
I wonder if, I know you had retweeted somebody talking about how the people that they had worked with who were YouTubers or press or like sort of new media type people were told that they weren't, and this is totally fine. Like, I know that this sounds outrageous, but if you're being hired by a company, this isn't weird. They weren't allowed to bash the event, obviously. But then I wonder at what point was the threshold of, I can't bash your event, but I no longer have anything good to say. You know, like, what am I supposed to talk about? So I wonder if some of the potential for that new media type stuff just went away and they didn't have anything.
Yeah. Like, there was a point where, like, even the hosts were just, they were trying to talk, be like, they're talking to each other, like, "Hey, who's excited? Yeah, yeah." And like, you hear the audience go, "Boo!" And then they're like, "Awesome. Yeah, thanks, guys." And like, they were completely ignoring them all. And then one person was like, "Don't worry. We hear you about the minor problem that we are having with the servers." And I'm like, this is not minor, you guys. This is major.
It is, but it puts them in a really weird spot where, like, again, I do chalk most of this up to preparation, so it's not like I'm trying to excuse the problem. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it's hard to come up with a contingency plan because you can't straight up say there's no problem, but you can't say that everything's at a standstill. You know, you can't say, hey, our event flopped. Like, so there's like, they're just put in this, they've put themselves in. I'm not going to make it external. They put themselves into a position where they couldn't win. They put themselves into a lose-lose situation, which probably affected everything, right? You know, I don't know if the stream, I don't know why the stream was down so much, but I do wonder if the stream was down simply because they couldn't do a lot of the stuff they prepared to do because of their own sort of shortcomings. Because the stream should have been easy. The stream literally could have just showed the event. At any given point, they should have been able to turn to a camera or like switch to a camera that was just an overhead or at different, they could have had a camera at each, you know, team tent or whatever. So it makes me wonder if they just kind of shot themselves in the foot there.
Yeah. One of the things, like one of the people, they were like, hey, yeah, I wish you guys at home could see this right now. Like how huge this crowd is. I'm like, then turn the camera, turn the damn camera.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wish you could have, cause it was huge. Like coming into the event, I'll say this, coming into the event, I expected it to be like, you see those pictures online of failed conventions and stuff like that, where there's like no one there. That's what I expected, because I'll say pretty straightforwardly, like the reaction to what was going on was pretty lopsided, right?
Like, yeah.
When I got there, I was amazed. There were still thousands and thousands of people. If I were in the event, I wouldn't have been able to walk 5 feet without bumping into somebody.
Oh,
like
wow.
It was still packed. I saw lots of people leaving, but it was still packed.
Like,
so
I've...
it wasn't barren by any stretch. The entire time I was there, it was just like people everywhere. Yeah. The problem was just they didn't have anything to do.
Yeah. No, okay. Now, there was some positivity. Like, they were talking about how, like, every time something spawns up, you just see, like, this huge wave of people just running towards, like, the same direction. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. And I'm sure a lot of people made some new friends and stuff like that and whatnot. And I hope people did make new friends.
Yeah.
I wish we could have been there to just, you know, pass out flyers for, you know, the Victory Road Pokemon podcast. That would have been awesome.
I know. I was thinking, like, why am I not wearing a shirt? Or, like, why do I not have, like, quarter sheets or something with me? It's, like, wasn't – if they weren't prepared, I was even less prepared.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, I heard a rumor, and I don't know how true this is, but, like, the – they wouldn't let, like, personal items in or something like that. Like, from what I heard, no water bottles or anything. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, that I could see. So I know, you know, you and I were texting back and forth, and you had alluded to this, and I wasn't paying enough attention to what people had. But, yeah, water bottles and stuff would make sense. You're not allowed to bring water bottles into a stadium either, you know?
Yeah.
But I did see lots of bags and stuff, so I do wonder what types
of things. Outside, and it's blazing hot out.
Right, you had to buy water from them, but you have to buy water over at, you know, the Bears Stadium too. So that I get, but I do wonder what other stuff was going on. The other thing is, like, how did they communicate that? That is something that if they didn't communicate at all, then that's on them.
Yeah,
you know.
So they eventually started talking, or they did like the little events throughout the game where the challenge as well, where you had to go out and capture a bunch of different Pokemon and. Basically, if a certain amount of Pokemon was caught between the three challenges, we would get a reward.
Yeah.
And we managed to unlock all the rewards. And basically, if we had gotten to bronze, all whatever rewards we had gotten would be lasting 24 hours. And then silver was the same thing, but 48 hours. And then gold was the release of a legendary Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going to make the goal. Let me just put it to you this way. Like, I saw how everything was going, and there was no way we were going to make it.
Well, okay, this baffles me, because I know it's not the same. The developers are not the same developers, but the overarching company is still Pokemon, right? And you and I have talked about this before with the main series games on the 3DS. They had these global challenges that... the bar was set way too high.
Mm-hmm.
Way, way, way too high. if you're going to do something like this, you want it to be mildly challenging and that people have to do it, but you want to know that it's going to get attained, right? You don't want it to be so low as to be like, if we catch 1,000, but you want it to be, you know, if you're expecting 20,000 people, multiply that by whatever you think a reasonable amount of Pokemon is to be caught by that population. You shouldn't even have to rely on the outside folks. I get why they did it, but
the bar was just crazy. At one point, the scoreboard that like they were showing the scoreboard for all the stuff on the live stream, and at one point it went down and it was taken down. Well, someone had actually taken a screenshot of one of the tents that had the scoreboard up, and they were modifying the requirements needed.
Oh, because they realized they were too high.
Yeah, well, either that or they, it was a reasonable number, but because everything was down and wasn't working properly, they realized, oh, we're not going to make the what we need for gold, and we just promised everyone legendary Pokemon.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? That right there, the fact that everybody knew that this event was key in unlocking things, those things should have been guaranteed to be unlocked, or it should have been reasonable enough that the three legendary birds should have been totally 100% attainable, and the reward, if we had really gone above and beyond, should have been Lugia and or Ho-Oh, right?
Yes.
Like, that's what it should have been. But the fact that we only have one is pretty frustrating. Well,
they showed, like, what everything needed to be, and I think they had set what they had eventually changed to. They changed normal type to only needing 3,000 normal types for bronze.
Whoa.
3,000. Think about that for a second.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because people couldn't play on site. They were struggling so hard to play on site. I caught one thing the entire time I was there. One. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I couldn't see things. It's not because I couldn't select things. It's because my game was crashing too much.
Yeah. And
humorously, in that I went to catch an Ash Hat Pikachu and it suddenly lost its hat. So that was funny, but like frustrating still that I could only catch that.
So they got caught essentially kind of cheating almost because, you know, it's like, hey, we promised you legendaries. Oh, crud. We're not going to make it, so let's fudge the results so we can still keep a promise to everyone worldwide.
If that's how they're going to cheat, though, I'm fine with it. If like, I'd rather
but
they
that just kind of just adds to the whole, this was a bigger disaster than we thought.
No, I get it. I get it. But if you're gonna try to do something, like at least they tried to give something, right? Like in customer service, if you screw something up, the bad move is to say, oh, sorry, like, too bad. And they tried to do something. Like, sure, it exposes where they weren't prepared, but we knew they weren't prepared.
So
at least we got something. But yeah, they should have prepared better.
As their biggest apology, they refunded everyone their tickets.
Yeah, huge. That's huge.
It gets bigger. They gave everyone $100 worth of Pokecoins for the game.
Right.
$100 worth of Pokecoins. That's a lot. Not like, oh, here's 100 Pokecoins. No. This is $100 worth of Pokecoins.
Right.
And then they allowed Heracross and Unknown to remain until Monday morning in the area for people who, you know, were there visiting and whatnot. And they expanded the radius by 2 miles. So this way, like, say, if your hotel's near the park, you could probably get it from your hotel room.
Right. So here's my thing, right? Like, I know, I want to preface this by saying that they were not, like, I don't think they were prepared. And you and I are going to talk about what they could and should have done differently.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a lot to say about it. But I will say that a full refund and 100 real dollars worth of credit in your game is big, and bigger than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it doesn't fix travel costs. It doesn't fix hotel costs, right? If you came in from somewhere far out and you paid for your hotel and your travel and stuff, that sucks. You're not getting that back. But for them to basically say, like, we screwed up so much that we're going to give up our profit. Like, we're making almost nothing, if anything.
Yeah.
Off of this because we screwed up so bad. Like, I'm willing to give them another shot if only because of that, right? And I don't think their shot should look the same. You know, I'm sure Niantic is totally listening to our podcast. And if they, what I would say is do another one, don't do the same thing.
Yeah. But, oh, crud, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And then the other thing was, obviously, the goal was met. I'm quoting that met because I really don't think it was met, but, you know.
Yeah.
So it was released. Lugia and mm-hmm. Articuno, because Team Mystic caught the most Pokemon, were released.
Yeah.
Out into the wild for raid battles and whatnot. And everyone at the event got a free Lugia.
Oh, yeah, they totally did, which is not something that was promised to begin with.
Yeah, so, I honestly, I get it. You guys are mad. Trust me, I get that. But, you know, they refunded everyone. You got extra coins. And you got a legendary Pokemon into your game.
Yeah. Here's my plea. I have a plea. And this is a plea specifically for Pokemon Go players. But it's a plea for anybody who happens to come across our podcast who's in a fandom, who is in any sort of fan community or whatever. This was the first thing they tried, and they may have made a huge mistake. But if you care about the game, then give them a second shot, right? If they were a person and they made a mistake, and they were somebody you cared about, you'd give them a second shot. I want this game to do well. I want events like this to succeed in the future. Mm-hmm. So as easy as it is to say, oh, man, they totally screwed up, and what a joke this company is. No, they're not. They gave us a game that we never would have been able to... you know, have otherwise. There's no game like it, really. So
yeah,
it sucks. They screwed up big time, and I'll say it. Like, I'm not gonna make, you know, excuses for them. But at least be open to these types of things moving forward. I certainly will. If Niantic said we're doing Pokemon Go Fest round 2 in St. Louis, right? I would still try to buy a ticket.
Oh yeah, I would even try too because I love St. Louis.
Yeah,
I'm going there this week.
But, so that's my plea, and that goes for anything, yeah. Right? If something you care about screws up, you know, it's not malicious. Give them a second chance.
Exactly. And my thing for Niantic, maybe limit the number of how many tickets you can sell or something.
Yeah,
or
let's get into
Have three events, one on the West Coast, one in Central, one on the East Coast. You could do L.A., Chicago, St. Louis, whatever, and then New York. You could have three events. This way, not everyone is converging into one. You kind of spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about things that could have maybe worked better.
Yeah.
Multiple events could have worked better. I think doing something very, very small – that might have even been carrier-specific, which I know everybody is going to cringe at me saying, but be really transparent about it and say, we're doing a Sprint-exclusive, small event because we've never done anything like this before, and we want to do a big one, but we don't want to screw it up. So we're going to do a very, very small one. We want to make sure that a single carrier can handle this. Make it not very expensive. Do some. I don't know how you... It could even be like a... what are those called? Like an influencer event where half of the people who actually have access to it are people they've invited because they're either YouTubers or podcasters or whatever who are going to talk about their thing and then somehow have the other half just be like general folks. But do something very transparently small and test the water. Not 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Too many people.
My biggest thing I wish they would change, besides the whole, you know, dividing it up into, like, three different parts of the country.
Yeah.
Make it so that when you buy tickets, your name is on that ticket. So that when you go to check in, you're like, here's my name. Because there were so many scalpers. Like, as soon as the tickets sold out, I went into eBay. They were going for, like, $500 to $600.
I couldn't believe that their admissions were transferable. That blows my mind.
Exactly.
They should have been completely non-transferable.
So I hope
I don't know. I couldn't even get in, so I don't know if you could buy multiple, like, couldn't get into the website even.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could buy multiple admissions. I'm sure you could, because I heard people saying, you know, I sold one and I kept one.
Mm-hmm. Plus you gotta figure families and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, you know, forget that person who sold one and kept one.
Yeah.
I'm not your fan.
but, like, those who got refunds, like, I don't know if like you had to prove that you bought it through Niantic's website, or if you could just show, hey, here's my ticket, can I get a refund? And they just like, you know, put money into your account, because maybe either the person, the like those who bought scalp tickets, who you're, if they could actually just give you just here's money, you're only going to get like a fraction of what you paid for that ticket. Actually, they're not going to refund you the price of your scalped ticket.
Yep.
And I guarantee you that scalper is not going to refund you your money either.
No, they made a butt ton of money off of you, and they're under no obligation to refund you for something that's not their fault.
Don't ever buy scalped tickets. I don't care if the event is sold out. Don't buy scalped tickets. It never ends well.
It does create a lot of problems.
Exactly.
It creates lots of problems. Tangibly and intangibly, it causes lots of problems.
I wish Niantic, I hope Niantic fixes it this way. Like, it's you bought this ticket. All right, this is your ticket.
Which is easy to do. I've been to just regular events that are non-transferable. Like,
Power Morphicon was non-transferable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example. Like, if you buy your ticket to Power Morphicon, you are either going or you spent money that you can't get back.
Exactly. There was a point where I thought I wasn't going to be able to go to Power Morphicon last year. And I actually emailed the people there and was like, hey, look, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go anymore. Is there any way, like, I can sell my ticket or whatever? I know my name's on it. Is there any way to transfer? And they're like, no, you can't. And I was like, okay, then.
Yeah, and as much as that sucks on an individual basis, the fact that they're strict about it and transparent about it makes it easy to be like, okay, that stinks, but that's the situation I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it would have sucked if you couldn't have gotten a refund or sold it, but at least they tell you up front, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was like, I know my name's on this ticket. I can't just be like, hey, who wants a platinum pass for, let's say, $200 instead, because I want this thing to be sold.
Who wants to be Kyle?
Exactly. But it just wouldn't work out. So, thankfully, I was able to still go to the event and whatnot, but...
Well, and that would also... Knowing that it's a non-transferable admission would be another filter, right? You wouldn't have a wave of people saying, I'm just going to get a ticket no matter what, not knowing if I can go, if I'm going to go, if I want to go, or whatever. Anybody who's unsure is going to wait.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't have gotten
a ticket
that has
$40
enough. Some around there, I think.
Yeah. And then another thing that they need to fix is the QR codes to access it. Great idea. Make sure that they're a one-time use only.
Yeah, you can do that too. That's totally doable. I wonder if, I wonder why they did that. Like, there had to have been a way where if that QR code was scanned, it just, like, quote, turned a switch on in your app where then you could access it.
I think so.
So I don't know why you would need to even use it more than once. And all they could do is if you scanned it and it didn't work, all they would need to do is have on-site, like, backups. And you would just have to go to your customer service tent or whatever and say, hey, mine didn't work. They would very easily be able to look at that and then just give you a backup.
Yeah. So a lot of things that they could have fixed.
I think this sounds weird. I get why they did it in Chicago. It's in the middle, quote, middle of the country. It's not really in the middle, but it's...
Close
sort of in the middle of the country. It's accessible by both coasts by flight. It's a big city. But honestly, I don't actually think they should have done it in a big global city. They should have done it in a St. Louis or a Cleveland or a Milwaukee or somewhere smaller, because I think people would have expected a little bit less, which sounds terrible, but like, if you have a New York City event, I think you're expecting something different than if you have a St. Louis or a Cleveland event. It's easier to market it as, you know, this is our beta run. You know, we're trying this out and we're trying it, you know, in a limited market, like when you test a product.
Yeah. But I think I've said everything I've had to say about the event. It could have been better. It really could have been better. I really do hope Niantic doesn't take this and be like, hey, you know what? Let's never do this again. I want them to keep going.
You know what I'm nervous about?
Hmm.
I'm not nervous that Niantic is going to be discouraged by their own shortcomings. I'm genuinely nervous that Niantic is going to say, we screwed up and people were crappy about it, and we don't need to give them something else. Yeah. And that's really what I hope is not the case. So if mm-hmm. you went, or if you've seen it, or if you weren't able to go and you wanted to go, just literally tweet at them and say, I would have loved to go, or I went there and I'd be willing to go again, or mm-hmm. we get it. I'm like, please do another one. Like, I'm happy to give you a second shot.
Yeah.
Because I do think that matters. There are real people behind the event and there are real people behind the company. And so if the entire company feels like, mm-hmm. we can't make a single mistake without people jumping down our throats, they're just going to develop the game and not do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would really suck.
Mm-hmm. So I've already started seeing Lugias and Articunos pop up around here in raids.
I haven't seen any around yet, but I've seen people posting their screenshots, so that's exciting.
I saw one right around the corner from my house, but here's the problem. I don't have anyone to go with.
Yeah, I...
you need almost a full group of 20 people at most, because that's the most you can have in a group, but like you need almost a full group just to take down a legendary.
We'll have to ask our buddy Vince, because I saw him all morning trying to catch one, and he did eventually catch one, so I'm curious to know how many people he had to wait for, because when he first mm-hmm. showed up, it looked like he had just missed a raid, like people mm-hmm. had caught it and they'd left, and then a few people showed up and he wasn't able to do it, and then I saw a screenshot, but I wasn't paying attention enough to know how many people he needed to wait on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. He had a good idea, though, which I don't know how people would feel about, but what Vince was saying was they should somehow figure out a way to proportion the CP. And I already know where a flaw is on this, but I think that it's avoidable, or they'd be able to fix it, where he said, if you're in a group or a corral or whatever, and there's only two of you, the CP for that thing should adjust so that if you live in a rural area or an area where nobody plays, you're not inherently punished because you have mm-hmm. a lower population of people playing. Your punishment, in quotes, would be that you don't get as strong of a Pokemon, but you still have access if you're a collector, you know?
Exactly, which would be perfect for me. Because at most, like, out of all my group of friends here, I can get 1, 2, 3, 4 people for a raid.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife, my roommate, and my roommate's sister. That's it.
And there's no guarantee you're going to run into another group of four. You know, exactly. like I'm lucky, as I've mentioned, like I'm very lucky in where I just happen to be that like if I go downtown here, I'll probably run into a group at a gym or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not common. I don't think that's exactly. like normal experience. Most people can't just walk outside, throw a stone, and hit a group of people playing Pokemon Go.
Exactly. And now, Saturday night, after the event, the local zoo here, they were doing a Pokemon catch-a-thon, where you just go around the zoo, catch a bunch. It was like after hours, so you're not like disturbing the public.
Yeah.
There's a ton of Pokestops there, a couple gyms, and they have a train that goes around the zoo that goes at just the right speed so you can still hatch eggs.
Oh, nice.
So they were doing that, and I think it was like $10 to get in.
Were you able to go to that?
No.
But did you see anything, or were you able to hear anything about it?
I saw people, you know, like the zoo actually posted afterwards, like, hey, we had a great event and stuff like that. But this was just this was like less than 24 hours away before the legendary started. If an event like that were to happen again, it'd be the perfect time to go and try and catch legendaries because everyone would be trying to do it.
But think about, and they might do it again, right? But think about why that event worked, right? They weren't reinventing what Pokemon Go was. They were creating an opportunity, right?
Exactly.
So it's like when Pokemon Go first came out, tons of businesses were doing things in conjunction with its release and with its popularity, but they weren't changing anything. They weren't expecting people to play differently. Wrigley Field would have like a Pokemon Go night, and the reason they did that is because there were stops that mm-hmm. were nearby. Yeah. And so they had discounted ticket if you showed that you played Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. And so then you might be adding a little bit of stress to the servers, but you're not adding a ton of stress. You're not changing the way the game is played. You're not doing anything other than trying to gather people in the same area, which is perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a social game. You're getting people in the same place.
Yeah. Boom.
So that zoo event sounds awesome. Hopefully they do another one so you can go.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they'll do another one now that Legendaries are out.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping for.
Do they have, like, social media or anything where you can have area people say, like, do that again?
Oh, I'm sure. But honestly, I completely forgot about it. Like, I knew about it when they first announced it, but then I completely forgot. And, like, just all of yesterday, like, just from live tweeting the live stream from my couch and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was the other thing. You could hear what, like, even though the screensaver was up, they were playing, you could hear the music in the background and people complaining and stuff like that. But the music they were playing was just a random DJ. Like,
yeah, why
not play actual Pokemon theme songs?
Yeah, I do wonder that. Like, do you think, I think the answer is yes, but do you think that the majority of people who went to this event are, yeah, they would. The answer is yes. They would know that music. They wouldn't be mad by that music. They wouldn't be annoyed that there wasn't, quote,
and
real music playing.
Know,
because,
like,
they paid to go to a Pokemon event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, oh, I forgot to mention this. I did tweet this, but I forgot to mention it. Something worth, I think, is very, very, very much worth mentioning. And again, since we know, this is sarcastic if you guys aren't picking up on this, we know that Niantic listens to our podcast. Kids were really, really enjoying themselves because I don't think kids, one, I think kids are more forgiving, but two, I don't think kids realized necessarily what the big problem was. Like, they were going to a big Pokemon event, and that's exciting. They saw thousands of people playing the same game that they do. That's exciting. You know, if they're coming in from the suburbs or something, they might be seeing Pokemon they don't normally see. That's exciting. Okay. So the kids really enjoyed it. You know, the only kids I saw upset were kids that were being required to leave because their parents didn't want to be there anymore, you know, which is normal. So hopefully that was the general vibe with all of the kids there, because that, you know, that's cool.
I really just hope that the kids that were there, seeing all the grown-ups still playing, were like, hey, I don't have to give this up when I grow up.
Yeah, right.
As an adult. Because I remember playing Pokemon and whatnot, and I remember one time my dad had asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a Pokemon master.
The only answer.
Exactly. And he goes, well, you know they're not real. I'm like, yes, Dad, I know they're not real, but, you know, I still want to collect and play. And he goes, well, you got to grow up sometime. And my
dad, can grow up and play Pokemon.
Exactly. I'm like, hello, I'm in my late 20s, and cause I'm still not going to reveal my age on this. I'll at least tell you folks, I'm in my late 20s now. And I love Power Rangers, okay?
Yeah, hello.
Exactly. Power Rangers, Pokemon. I read comic books. I have over 3,000 comic books in my collection. My dad once told me when I grew up, I was going to have to sell all my comics.
False?
Exactly.
Comic books does not limit your ability to adult.
Exactly.
It's in your house. It's exactly. Like, you're not bringing your 3,000 comic books with you everywhere you go, like, to work. Like,
it's
not hindering your ability.
Maybe one or two to read on break. That's a different story.
Yeah.
So I hope these kids learned, or just by seeing all these adults being like, hey, I don't have to give this up.
Well, the closest thing I could think of is I remember when the Jungle expansion first came out for the Pokemon trading card game, and my older brother agreed to take me to the mall where they were doing a promotional event.
Okay.
And just seeing how many people were at this mall playing Pokemon the card game, showing off their, like, binders full, which I didn't even I was like, oh my gosh, there are people with binders full of these cards, you know. I had my little, like, plastic baggie full of cards. And then, like, getting a promotional card, I'm sure something went wrong there, or I'm sure that people were expecting something they didn't get or whatever. But I was just, like, a kid who was, like, totally enamored by the fact that there were, you know, what felt like thousands, but probably were hundreds of people just, like, doing the same thing that I liked to do.
Unfortunately, though, there's still, like, grown-ups who don't like any of this stuff, and they're with their kids, and, you know, it's like, I'll go to, like, a Toys R Us event where, like, they're going to be passing out, like, a free promo card for Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I'm usually the only adult there without a kid.
Yeah.
So I get some weird looks, especially when I wear like a Power Ranger shirt or something like that, because, you know, I'll get like, mommy, mommy, look, it's a Power Ranger. And she'll be like, don't talk to him.
I feel like most of the adults who would look at another adult funny for like liking something that they liked as a kid are the ones who were kids who probably were too cool for it in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes perfect sense for you and me to buy stuff that we liked when we were kids. We've grown up with it. It never went away, you know? So I don't know, whatever. So I don't even, blah. Okay. Never grow up.
Exactly.
In your fandom, in your real life, like, grow up and.
All right. So this is gonna be a good segue, because recently there was a trailer release. Another trailer had been released for the Pokemon 20th anniversary movie, which is basically just like a rehash of the first episode mixed with a whole new thing.
Yeah, reimagining an alternate universe. However you need to view it.
Essentially, but Brock and Misty don't go along with Ash. It's two new protagonists, and people were livid, is it, putting it mildly, maybe. But
people, I'm just going to say this. I always thought it was weird that Brock and Misty were traveling with him. Doesn't mean I don't like the two of them. I like them just fine. But I always was like, they're gym leaders. I've mentioned this before. Why does he always travel with gym leaders? Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. So, you know, people, and this isn't the first time we've seen them in a trailer. The previous trailer we saw it, but essentially, Ash, like, you're also seeing more than just the first 150. One of the female trainers has a Piplup. The other guy's got Lucario.
Oh, no.
Ash's rival in this thing has got a Incineroar.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, you also got Musharno, the new one. I think I said that name right or wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's also, like, the main legendary in this, along with Ho-Oh.
Yeah.
So it's not a it's a retelling of the first episode, but it's also kind of like a reboot, almost. Yeah. It's basically essentially an alternate universe, but people were like, oh my gosh, where's Brock and Misty? I'm not going to watch this because it's not Brock and Misty. This isn't the true Pokemon.
We don't need you.
Then people are like, oh my gosh, this is ruining my childhood. And I'm like, no.
I hate that phrase so much.
I hate that phrase too. Unless, of course, Dialga went back in time and used its time of roar on your face. Your childhood is not ruined.
Your childhood is already over.
Sorry. Now, I know we just said your childhood can still continue, but when you're an adult, I get that. But
your fandom can continue.
Exactly.
Your childhood only lasts this long.
The main anime that you watched is still there.
Yeah, it's all on Netflix, everybody.
The only time your childhood is ruined is when you actually rewatch something and realize, oh my gosh, this thing really sucked. How did I ever like it?
This wasn't as good as I remember. The thing with this, I don't even understand why people are complaining, because, like, I know I brought up my example of thinking it was weird that he travels with gym leaders, but who hasn't said, wait, where were all these Pokemon before? Like, they just magically weren't in Kanto? Or if you play a newer game and they cross over generations in areas that weren't crossed over before, Pokemon has all sorts of little holes and little things that you can pick on. And this movie is just acknowledging all of those questions that we've all asked a bajillion times. So what's the big deal?
Oh, yeah. No. But, you know, people are like, oh, I want things to be the same. And I'm like, if you want things to be the same, go rewatch the TV show.
Yeah, plain, why would simple. You do the exact same thing all over again?
Exactly. If you don't like this, don't watch it.
Bingo!
Yeah, don't watch it. And when you say your childhood is ruined, it's not ruined. I recently rewatched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I know we talk about Power Rangers a lot. This is not Ranger Command Power Hour, but you know
but
what?
You can listen to that, too.
They're good examples. Yes, listen to Ranger Command Power Hour. It's a good example. I recently rewatched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Everyone considers it the holy grail of Power Rangers. You know what? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers sucks. I rewatched it. The acting is terrible. The effects are terrible. Yes, it was 1993. I get that. But
things are never the way you remember them. If you were excited about something as a kid, it is not the way you remember it. And that's okay. If it made you happy as a kid, great. You know, if you're worried about it not being as good as you remember it, just don't watch it again and remember it the way you remember it. But yeah, something's always going to be weird, right? Playing the old, like the original Pokemon games, they feel slow. It's almost difficult, right? They can be fun if you're still into it, but sometimes, like, it's not uncommon to hear that, right? I hear this with the same thing that you were talking about with Power Rangers, right? People are like, the original season's kind of a patchwork. It's kind of weird and doesn't make any sense. I get this all the time in Survivor, too, even, which is another thing that I'm obsessed with. Newer fans go back and watch older seasons and are like, oh, those are terrible, because they're slower. They're 15 years old. Like, it's not what you remember it.
It's not in HD.
Right. Things evolve. Things have gotten clearer and crisper.
Oh, yeah.
The budget's gone up. Like, whatever the case is, things change. It's okay.
Now, I watch Big Brother, and I sometimes have to watch on CBS All Access. So when I watch the newest episode, it'll show what's next, and it'll be Big Brother, Season 1, Episode 1, and it's a scene of Julie Chen talking to someone, and she looks completely different. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And
don't just watch the first season.
Don't
watch the first season. Anyway.
I see the picture, and I can see how grainy it is from being how old it is. And I'm like, this just...
It happens.
Exactly.
It's natural. It's okay, everyone.
Exactly.
It'll be fine. It'll be cool to see the story told a new way.
Exactly. It's a brand new story with some of the same elements from what you remember. I saw a scene. Ash still lets go Butterfree. I'm still going to cry.
Were these people mad when we got Generations and when we got Origin? Like, were these people ticked off at that point too? Because those were awesome. Those were really awesome.
That wasn't Ash, though. That wasn't Ash. This was the. This is definitely an alternate universe, obviously, because you got Red and all the other main characters from the games.
Mm-hmm.
So
it has to be. It has to be. Different, but not too different, and it has to have these things, but not these things. Like, impossible. Impossible. Just
you can't
roll
please
with it.
Everyone.
If you don't you don't like it. Who cares? But
exactly.
don't ruin the experience for the rest of us.
Exactly. So, just try and keep an open mind about things, people. That's all I can say. That's what I do. I keep an open mind about everything. I kept an open mind when I went to go see the Fantastic Four reboot, and you know what? I kind of enjoyed it. I might be the only one who did, but I kind of enjoyed it. So,
spoiler alert, it's only bad at the end. The rest of it's fine.
See, I like it because I knew it was going to be a science movie and not an action movie when a lot of people thought it was going to be action. So,
it was described to me as a body horror film, so I knew what I was getting into. Like, I knew exactly what I was getting into. But that's the point, right? Like, it can go well and it cannot go well. But you're not going to know until you experience it. And if you don't like it, you don't need to have an extended relationship with it. You can just break it off and never see it again. Never play it again. Never talk about it again. Whatever the case is.
Exactly.
Spend your time doing things you enjoy.
Yes.
Moral of our story today.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that wraps up everything. I had to get that little rant out of the way.
I appreciated it.
Yeah. And if someone out there did not appreciate it, well, there's other Pokemon podcasts out there. I'm sorry. I could not keep you listening. I'm not going to be begging on my feet, like, oh, please, please, please listen to us. No.
That's my job. That's what I'll do.
No. I'm just going to say this. If you don't like what we have to say, I'm sorry. These are our opinions.
And it's okay. You can tell us. That's fine. If everybody hates it, yeah, maybe there's something wrong, but I'm sure not everybody hates it.
and if you do tell us by Twitter at Victory Road Pod, we will either A, ignore you, or B, come up with some kind of sarcastic remark to come back to you.
Ha.
So that's YouTube sensation sweeping the nation, Hassan Ahmed.
World of Ha. Check it out.
Yes, that too. I believe that's it. No other news. We're not going to cover any anime tonight because, you know, yeah.
We'll do that eventually. We'll do it.
We will. It just keeps the anime going, so this way we can still keep going at 3-episode pace.
We don't want to go too fast. Hey, when does that new movie come out?
I think it's coming out soon in Japan. As for America, I don't think they've announced it yet.
Okay, because we'll have to do an episode about that too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe before that, we'll do like a
rewatch,
a commentary thing of like the first episode and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, have we said it all?
I think so.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for joining us on another adventure along the Victory Road. For information on episodes and contests, or to give us feedback on the show, seriously, you can tell us if you don't like us. It's fine. Be sure to find the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Victory Road Pod. And if there's something in the world of Pokemon or the world of Ha you know a whole lot about and you'd like to appear on the podcast, let us know. Until next time, we are not headed to a Pokemon Center. We're headed out into the wild to catch some legendary birds. See you later.
Bye.
Woo!
Production of the 4Ride Radio Network. For other great shows, check out www.4rideradio.com.
Did you watch the battle back yet?
I did.
Okay.
And I'm a little disappointed with that because I felt like Cody had the edge because he did that competition already.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a different maze, but he already knew how to do the levers, so he knew how to do it.
Big Brother does weird stuff, right? Like, I don't understand why.
It was almost as if they wanted Cody to come back for the whole competition. Man,
weird. It's almost as if they didn't want their twist to not matter.
Had he chosen the other competition with the rotating boards and whatnot,
yeah,
it could have been anyone's game for that.
Yep. Big Brother's weird. Like, I enjoy it because it's kind of an S show, but there are things that they could be transparent about that they aren't, and I don't understand why. Like, they obviously want someone to come back into the game. So why give the house guests an opportunity to block it? Mm-hmm. If you're going to stack it in their favor anyway, because we all know you want them to come back.
Especially when you're already going to be short an episode because someone kind of quit the game.
Yeah, so exactly.
My theory is they're just going to skip the whole double eviction night.
I think they will unless that halting hex gets used. If the halting hex gets used, I think the next week you get a double eviction.
Yeah.
Just because I think they're going to kind of have to.
Yeah, I think they probably came up with that halting hex just because it's like, all right, we need to come up with something to kind of fill an episode. Because now they're down an episode because they're down a contestant.
Well, they wouldn't have to be if they didn't get rid of somebody on the first day. I am so upset.
Oh, because he keeps close.
Oh, even though I understand that Cody is going to provide like...
The most drama.
I love... First off, I was rooting for Cameron from the beginning because he's from the area.
Yeah.
And two, he's an unknown. And even though I know that I'm getting, you know, probably drama with Cody, it would have been fascinating to see an entire house play for like 4 weeks
mm-hmm.
and then have somebody who's pretty much entirely new in the house. They have no idea. He doesn't know any of them. So it's not like he likes them doesn't like them. They would all be fighting for him.
After they had announced, hey, someone's coming back, and they're all like, oh, I hope it's not Cody. I hope it's not. I kind of hope it's Jillian. And like, no one mentioned Cameron the entire time.
Yeah, which is, they called him the wrong name. They've called him so many names in the house. They can't even remember. He was only in there for like 11 and a half hours. So some of them remember it's Cameron. Some of them have called him Carmen. Some have called him Malcolm. Like, they can barely remember his name.
It must be like, on a live stream because I haven't seen that.
Yeah, how great would it be? Yeah, they haven't showed that on the – well, they don't want to show that on the TV because like, they're like, oh, well, no one even knows who he is. But that's brilliant. I think that's amazing.
Now – has anyone actually heard from Megan?
Megan, yes. Megan has been on social media.
Okay.
Like pretty shortly after, but I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to her.
Okay. Wasn't sure if she was like, oh, pow, pow.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that, but probably.
I'm sure the first thing she did was like, oh, wasn't pant, shoot.
Right. I'm going to go watch the tapes and see if I was actually wrong. That's what I would do. Like,
yeah,
if something
and I'm
were
sure
that
people, hard. Like, her family was probably like, hey, honey, yeah, she didn't say panda.
Nope.
I'm sure her family had to have told her.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
But I can only imagine what those four other contestants had, especially Cameron.
Right?
Like, had to go through waiting for, like,
okay.
What do you do?
Cameron's experience was being sequestered for, like, 2 weeks or something before the show, and then being in the house for, like, 11 and a half hours, and then going back to being sequestered for as long as they've been playing. He doesn't even get to, like... Yeah, he doesn't even get to, like, talk to people. He's not allowed to talk to his family. He's not allowed to talk to his friends. He's not allowed on social media. He probably, all he can do is watch, he's not allowed to watch the news. Like, he's not allowed any of that. So he's probably only allowed to watch Big Brother or, like, CBS television and talk to his handler, maybe. Like, maybe he's allowed outside. I have no idea. I'm sure he's allowed to work out.
I can only imagine just how annoying that has to be. Because, like, I'd be like, I can't play any of my games.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, they gave him, like, a video game console or something. Like, here.
Maybe.
Like.
Because that doesn't hurt. Like, it's not like you're getting outside information.
Exactly.
It's just to make you not go crazy. Mm-hmm. I just feel terrible because that's almost, like, 7 weeks of his life that have paid off 0%, you know?
Well, he gets paid a little bit, right?
He gets. So, you Big Brother contestants get stipends per week. So, I have no idea
what how it works when you get sequestered.
Yeah, I don't know if he was getting, like, if you have a chance to battle back into the house, are you still getting paid for the time that you're waiting?
I think you should, because it's like, hey, we're holding you against your will.
Yeah, I know, right? I hope that's the case.
It's like, we're not going to let you go home. We're going to hold you against your will, so.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't love the BBOTT, the one that was exclusive to CBS All Access, but I won a second one only so that Cameron can be on the show. Do BBOTT 2 and put Cameron in the house.
I actually tried to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah.
And God, it's so scattered out, like, between, like, sections. It's like, here's live evictions. Here's, just, like, the regular episodes and competitions. And I'm like, could you guys try and format it into an actual episode?
They do, but the CBS's website isn't very organized. So, like, you could watch BBOTT three different ways. You could watch it live, you could watch daily updates, or you could watch one episode per week. So I think I'll have to go on there and see if I can find, like, the one episode per week
thing. I was looking at All Access, and it basically has it where it's now just, like, weekly updates and then evictions.
Oh, they don't have the episodes on there anymore? That's weird.
As far as I know,
they would do, like, a Wednesday night episode, which if you watch the daily updates, you didn't need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the daily updates were probably pretty.
But that was
pretty
one of the shows where, like, you actually had to pretty much almost watched a live stream.
It was a lot easier, yeah.
And I don't think I could do that. It's like...
I sometimes after an eviction, I'll watch live feeds for like a couple days or whatever, but I just get exhausted.
Yeah, like, I'd be like, all right, cool. All right, let me hit... Oh, wait, I can't hit pause. This is live.
Yeah, but I do... I listen to like podcast updates and stuff. If I really want to know what's going on, then sometimes I'll listen to updates.
Okay.
And then some weeks I don't want to know anything, so I don't listen to podcasts and I don't watch anything, and I just wait for the episode, and then I'm surprised. Yeah. Just depends.
I always, whenever I watch this, I always try and put myself in this situation. I'm like, I couldn't do it, because it's like, what happens if like it's live or whatever, and they call you and you're on the toilet?
Yeah, Survivor is like way harder on your body, but I would much rather do that than be stuck in a house with one bathroom that's always accessible and another one that's locked sometimes, and not be able to go outside and not be able to walk away from people who tick me off. Like that would be so much worse for me.
Or what if you're watching one of the comps that takes like 10 hours or something like that?
Oh my God.
You got to use the bathroom.
You don't get to. I've seen that on live feeds before where people are like, oh my gosh, this is the end. I need to go to the bathroom so bad.
Yeah.
Pee in a corner, I guess, but that's gross. It's not grass. Yeah,
that's going to be there.
Nasty.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Like, they got like a secret bathroom they don't tell you about outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't do it. I'd go crazy, which actually means that I probably should apply. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm going to go absolutely insane.
I would end up just like poking the cameras or something like that.
You know what you would get? Kyle, please stop doing that. One of my favorite things of watching the feeds is the production like interjections. Kyle, please stop doing that.
Yeah, I like when the production like shows up randomly like on the actual episodes and like you hear like, please go to the diary room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ugh.
I like
that's
that.
The other thing I couldn't do. Like, I'd be doing, like, you know how, like, they do, like, the diary room confessions during the comps? And you have to act like you're actually going to win this?
Yeah.
You have to pretend, and then you're like...
Because you do them after the fact, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, hey, while you're doing this comp, can you please go to the diary room and... So I hate how they have to act like they're going to win still, and I'm just like... No.
Yeah, that'd be weird. I feel like I would just have to be I feel like not have to be. I feel like I would end up being weird just to like stay entertained. Like I'm so bored. Like I'm so bored. Maybe I would just be like a Johnny Mac and I would just like entertain myself.
And that's another thing, like everyone I've seen in the house always drinks.
Oh yeah, I guess I don't really pay too much attention to that.
Well, like, the very first episode...
Oh, yeah.
Always got the Clash Champion. I'd be like, oh, guys, I know I'm not 21, but I don't drink. I physically don't drink. I can't stand the taste of alcohol.
That's fine. So, you wouldn't be the only one, but it's pretty rare.
Exactly. So then I'd be like, you know, the odd one out or something like that, and then...
It's two drinks for someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would drive me insane. Mm-hmm.
I heard people are a little peeved at Christmas for continuing to stay.
Well, they're not mad at her necessarily. They're mad at production for allowing her to choose because her heel time is going to be longer than the game. She's never going to be back to what she was when she started as long as she's in the house. Mm-hmm. And so... Because it's not Survivor, they're not going to pull her because there's no risk of, you know, making it worse based on survival conditions. She's literally sleeping in a bed. She's got real food. Like, she can stay nourished, all that sort of stuff. So they said, you know, you can choose. You just won't be able to do a lot of stuff. And so people are like, that's ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She can't do anything. She can't
play the veto comp. She got selected to do the veto comp. I feel like her name should have been pulled out of that. Container, no one would have known that her name was not in there had you guys just plucked it out.
I feel like Christmas at this point, unless somebody gets really indignant about it, I feel like the smart strategy would be to bring Christmas as far as possible and maybe even sit next to her. To say, like, I get that she broke her foot, but she didn't have to do anything.
Exactly. Like, she didn't do any of the strong comps. She was able to do mental ones, and who knows how she'll be right. with those.
Right. Don't give her a sympathy vote. She didn't have to do anything. But I would hate for her to be sitting there at the end because it's just a waste of a contestant. I like, but the thing that's frustrating though, because I like Christmas a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's cool. I just wish that she could actually play. It's great for her game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She's not a threat anymore.
Although, I'll tell you what though, like, if I was in this game, like, I would hate, like, the beginning because there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it gets so much better as like people start to dwindle down. Like, there's gonna be like that sweet spot where it's like, all right, the house isn't so crowded, it's not so noisy.
Finally, be alone.
Exactly, and then eventually it's gonna be like, okay, this is too quiet.
I think I'd be okay with the too quiet part, but I don't know. Yeah. When you can't do anything.
Yeah,
it is kind of crazy to think about. You get no books, no magazines, no games, like, nothing.
I wish that books, I feel like, all right, can you guys give us, like, at least, like, the classics or something? It's like, I guarantee you these books are not going to spoil us on the news that's going on the outside.
You could bring a Bible or a Quran. Those are the only books you get to bring.
Wow. Wow.
There was one season I was watching where they were so bored that they were just, like, reading, like, the instructions to the microwave. Like, wow. Like, they got a microwave as a reward. This is like a very old season. And they were like, oh man, new reading material. And they literally just like read the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. And now with the whole no naps rule.
Mm-hmm. Which I still, it would suck as a contestant, but I appreciate it as
a viewer.
Sometimes watches the live feeds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's never going to be a point where you're just watching everybody sleep in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Nicole.
But now, of course, it's like, all right, they're all lounging outside, sunbathing or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if we would have gotten the pickle juice to the face, though, if they were allowed to nap.
Oh, oh my God. Okay, Josh needs to go.
I agree. Josh, I think I've seen this, like, I balance the who do I like versus who's going to provide good TV thing on a constant basis. So I'm like, I don't like Josh, but, you know, he's at least explosive. But I think I've seen everything I need to see from Josh.
I can't stand to watch him. Like, Josh. He'll explode like, oh, God, so please change the channel or something. I can't watch this.
Yeah, he's the kind of dramatic that makes me uncomfortable.
And what was worse was, like, him and Mark playing pool and whatnot, and Josh did what he did, and then, you know, Mark, yes, kind of just threw the drink in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh came back out with, like, what was, like, mustard and mayonnaise and stuff like that, and just squirted all over him.
Yeah.
Mark laughed.
Mark was ready to be done with it.
Exactly. Like, he was laughing. He thought it was a funny retaliation joke and went to go hug him and be like, yo.
Mark was done with it for so long. What drove me nuts is, like, Josh would say stuff and Mark would even be like, okay, Josh, like, I get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, would be done. And then Josh, like, wasn't satisfied. Like, Josh wanted an argument. Josh wanted Mark to, like, retaliate or something. And so then Mark would be like, okay, Josh. Okay. Like, I get it. And then there'd be an awkward pause and then Josh would just go off again.
Exactly. Like,
no, you just said you had nothing left to say to me, Josh. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. And now with Cody back, I feel bad for Jessica because, like, she was actually starting to get a little bit of a social game with everyone.
So that was a big reason I didn't want Cody back, is Jessica was going to do well, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, she was laying low that past week. She let everything happen to Dominique. She kind of just, you know, was like a little buddy-buddy with everyone. She got along a little bit better with people. And then now Cody's back, and she's just going to go back to being with him and whatnot. Right. And
she was able to write it off. Like, pretty well. When she talked to, there was one point, I don't know if this was on a show or on the feeds or on a clip or what, but at one point she talked to Raven and Elena before Cody came back and was like, you know, last week was just really, really hard, but, like, I still, you know, want to be friends with you, and I still want to work with you. Like, that's the perfect thing. You could easily write it off and say, like, I was just an emotional wreck while that was happening, and I didn't know how to handle myself, but my distraction's gone. Like, he's out of here. Like, I'm ready to bounce back. Like, and I need your guys' help to do that. Like, it was the perfect thing.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Yeah. I'm really hoping Josh is next to go, though.
That would be lovely. I would not be mad at all.
Josh,
it was fun that it lasted.
I like the cowboy.
I don't know how to feel about the cowboy. Like, I don't have a problem with the cowboy. He's just there at the moment for me.
Well, I felt bad for him when Christmas came back and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was the kind of responsible for her breaking the foot. But, you know, you told me how she kind of was just like, hey.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not your fault.
Oh, yeah. Seeing her come back. Like, getting to watch all that live. I never see anything exciting on the feeds. Every time I tune in, I'm, like, missing the good stuff. That was probably the first time this whole season that I've seen, like, really good stuff.
I wish they put that in the show.
Yeah. No, like, I do, too.
Really?
There was the only other good thing I saw, which never showed up on the show, and I'm pissed about it. So, you know how you were saying you never liked Dominique? And I said I liked her early on.
Mm-hmm.
The show never gave people a reason to like Dominique. But early on, before she was in hot water or anything, she was actually, like, really impressive. She and Mark had, like, this big, not big. They had this, like, sort of secret alliance for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And one time when I tuned into the feeds, they were having, like, a huge conversation about like, everyone in the house and, like, things that were going on and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so good. Like, the feeds cameras were on them for, like, an hour and a half. And normally they kind of, like, go back and forth. So that's when I did like her. And then she just went bonkers. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you very clearly can't handle the pressure of the game.
Mm-hmm. But I like how Kevin's just kind of flying under the radar mostly.
Yeah. I love Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's hilarious.
I thought I was going to hate him, but now I'm kind of just like, all right, Kevin, do your thing.
He was such an unknown quantity. It was like, why are you on this show? How did they find you? And now it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. But, yep. All right.
Well, you have a barbecue to get ready for.
Yeah, in about 3 hours. My sister texts me, goes, hey, you're still coming tonight for the barbecue. And I'm like, what barbecue? Like, oh.
What are you talking
about? One we kind of just thought of doing about an hour ago, and I'm like,
how is there a still coming then?
I'm like, I have a freaking needle in my arm right now because I'm donating plasma. Please, stop. Don't stop this.
Well, hopefully it's delicious at least.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, man. You have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.